doesn't need his name up in lights. Five sisters, all trading clothes, putting on makeup, getting ready to go. Gonna make it to the tailgate by 11 o'clock, and then it's Tito's and Red Bull until the game kicks off. Got the music blaring, I can't stop staring as they come walking by. Going crazy on a third and long.
Wilson's going to throw out of an empty set. Tyler winds up over the middle, complete at the 40, to midfield, to the 40, to the 30. Kobe's going to go to the 20, to the 10. Touchdown, Arkansas! Kobe Hamilton, 80 yards. He's gone over 300 receiving yards for the night.
Welcome back at the Zone, hour two. The official start of the season for Razorback fans is today. I dug deep, Matt Stell.
Deep cut.
Was it not hard to find a good song? Game Day Dress, thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome.
It was extremely difficult to find a decent Razorback highlight, however.
Yeah, that's why I wrote this song, because I just feel like this is might be a rebuilding year, and we're going to have to rebuild starting from the ground up, which is obviously our tailgate experience. We
yes.
put a lot of effort, energy into that. We could still be number one.
Sometimes
while
you gotta
we're
focus,
number two.
Yeah, focus on the peripheral items, because frankly, that's going to be maybe the best part of your football experience this fall.
The Mississippi method, I call it.
I like that. Yes, except without so many khaki pants.
Hey,
not that there's anything wrong with that. Let's go to the Revolution Hotline. Robbie Nyswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau joining us, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
So good, finally. It is August. Now, here's the thing. In about 10 days, after talking about practices that nobody gets to see, we're going to hit there is a second wave of doldrums that we get, because it's like, okay, I'm tired of talking about practice I didn't see. I want to get into some actual game talk and getting ready for the Louisiana game, as they call it now. So anyway, we're about to hit that. But for now, the excitement is at a fever pitch, because we are officially on the practice field. Things are happening.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a little weird, because this really is truly the first time that I can remember in a while not going out to the first practice of the preseason. So it's a little bizarre. It's almost like if it happened, if we're not in there to see it, does it actually happen? I don't know. So we're going to find out how it is tonight when we talk to Brett Bielema to see how that first day goes and take it from there. We know it's going to be closed the first week, and, you know, hopefully after that they'll open some up and we can kind of get a better idea what the team looks like.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, it's the power of the media is great unless the media is kept out. So what we'd get is not how the first practice went. We'd get Brett Bielema's take on how the first practice went. So
exactly.
Not that I don't trust his judgment, but I'd certainly like to hear your perspective on it, having allowed you to see the first practice. So, I mean, I understand what they're doing, especially with a new coaching staff. So it was not surprising at all that the first week was closed. So going in, I read your column, and you could, of course, find this on ArkansasNews.com. And look around, you'll find Robbie's column on the questions going into the upcoming season. I think most people would understand that there are many. But run through a couple of these of your top 10 key questions going into this upcoming season.
Yeah, you know, I'll go back to the highlight you just played. Those two guys in that highlight, they're gone.
Yeah.
So that's one of the questions. You know, is Brandon Allen ready to step in and do something like that? You know, be able to fling the ball like that, you know, throw a touchdown pass. And, you know, the other question is, well, not only that, you know, he's got to run this offense. Obviously, that's the bigger deal. You know, can he get Arkansas into plays and out of bad plays and into good plays? And how well does he understand this offense? How much command does he have of this offense? And how does he perform in it? And then, you know, one other question, you know, who's Kobe Hamilton this year? Who are they going to go to when they need to throw the ball, when they need a big completion, when they need some passing offense? At this point, you know, out of the spring, it looked like Javonte Herndon could be that guy. but it's still kind of wide open. So I want to see if they've got a go-to guy that can develop. So that's just two of the 10 I put down there. Obviously, there's a lot of things that they've got to cover when you've got a new coaching staff and plenty of new players.
One of the questions you had in your column was about the Hogs' best five up front. Who does that include? And I would also say that there's been a lot of talk about Ben Herbert and the work that he did with the big guys up front in the offseason. Yeah. And there were some before and after pictures. And you look at any GNC ad or any other kind of before and after type of ad you'll see. And he did that kind of performance and then some with some of these offensive linemen who are already big and burly and strong and monstrous. I mean, even more so now some of these dudes that are 312 are all cut up. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. I want to know if he can do that for me. That would probably be the tougher task right there.
I want to audit his work.
Robbie, I want to see you at 312. That would be beautiful.
But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive. Just the before and after pictures are impressive. And, you know, we all know that doesn't make a football player necessarily, but that is a very important aspect. You know, this team needs to get stronger on both lines. They need to become a more physical team, a much tougher team. And when you look at pictures like that, the two that everybody saw were Bray Cook and Kiro Small, and they just look, you know, much more cut, much more fit, and obviously much bigger. So you know that there's added strength there, and I want to see what it looks like on the field. You know, are these guys able to push around defensive line a little easier now? Is it helping out there? You know, what is it doing for them? That's, like I said, it's not you know, something that makes a football player, but it's an important part of the equation. It looks like they've got to take care of in the offseason.
Perception is not always reality, as we know. With Houston Nutt, the argument was, you know, they're running the ball 80% of the time. That wasn't really true, but that was kind of the perception of that offense. And from a Bobby Petrino standpoint, just the opposite. For a lot of Razorback fans, especially the old-school purists, he was probably throwing the ball a little too much. But when you look at the numbers, probably ran it a fair amount of the time, too, from a percentage standpoint. Any clue if there's a perfect ratio in mind for this coaching staff as to how much they want to run versus pass?
Well, I think Brett Bielema said it before. You know, the way he sees it, he wants to be an offense or have an offense that can rush for 200 yards a game and throw for 200 a game. They want balance. Yes, a lot of what they want to do is going to be determined by the line of scrimmage. They're going to try to run the football. They're going to try to establish things that way and really set up the play action. You know, that's what they'd like to do in the perfect world. But, you know, they want to be balanced. They want to be able to throw the ball when they need to. When they have to, and when they want to, really. So I think you're going to see a variety. It's going to be interesting to me, you know, what does this offense do well? Because they're trying to get this system in place, and you've got a lot of players from a different offense, you know, as far as the Petrino offense, you know, what they did last year and several years before that. So what do they do well? You got to figure out what your guys can do well, what their strengths are, and that's how you've got to build an offense. So that's what they've got to determine this preseason.
Robbie Nyswanger joining us on the Revolution Hotline from the Arkansas News Bureau. What about special teams? A couple of questions going in on punting and then return game as well. And that's certainly, you know, Arkansas went many years without much of an explosive return game. And then you had, you know, Felix Jones on kick returns. You had Joe Adams after that, of course, as a punt returner and some electrifying moments there. Who steps up in those two roles?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I don't have the answer to that. I tried for the life of me to remember everybody that was, you know, at least catching the punts, catching kickoffs in spring practice. And I couldn't remember, you know, other than a couple of guys like Nate Holmes and DeArthur Cowan. So I really think it's a wide open thing, and I don't know who's going to get the job. And I know that's one thing they've got to look at. I don't think they really emphasized it that much in the spring. I think they had, you know, much bigger concerns at that point. But we all know, you know, you've got to get somebody ready now, and you don't want somebody just simply going to catch the ball. I mean, first of all, that's important. But you want them to make plays as well. So who best fits that? And, you know, it feels like Nate Holmes is the guy because of the speed and the athleticism that he's got. You know, you just get the sense that they would like to see him be able to do it, but he's got to be comfortable doing it. So we're going to keep an eye on that, you know, when we get in there and see some practice, see who's doing that kind of thing. And certainly we'll ask the questions as well. But, yeah, it's an important thing because we all know Arkansas did nothing in the return game last year, and you could really tell the difference. Between the year earlier when they scored six touchdowns and made all kinds of plays and were a big threat to last year where they did absolutely nothing.
What about from a running back standpoint? We've talked a lot about Jonathan Williams. We've talked a lot about Alex Collins. The star of the spring game, though, was a guy whose name I'm not even sure how to pronounce, whether it's Arinza or Arinzi. But Patrick had a great spring game. I have not heard his name mentioned much since then. Is he in the mix at all?
I think everybody's in the mix, honestly. I think it's pretty clear that Arkansas goes in with Jonathan Williams being the number one guy. Everybody wants to see how well Alex Collins adapts. I think everybody believes he'll be able to adjust pretty quickly and help. You know, Cody Walker's another guy, you know, coming off the injury. What can he give them? And then you're right, you know, Patrick Arends. I mean, how does he fit in too? Because he did look like a pretty impressive bowling ball back there. So I think Arkansas wants to – they know that they got to have depth there. You know, so obviously you got to have at least two guys that you can count on. You'd like to have three or four even. And these are a lot of new names and new faces. So, again, you know, we mentioned how things are wide open. I think the same thing goes at running back, you know, maybe outside of Jonathan Williams, because they're pretty sure that you know, he's going to give them what they need. But you got to get other guys ready. So look for a guy like that to help out as well.
Robbie Neiswanger joining us, Arkansas News Bureau. Again, you can check out his column at ArkansasNews.com. It's the top 10 questions going into the season. One of the questions you didn't ask, and of course I'm sure you put this together before the news broke, is can Arkansas beat Texas A&M in Fayetteville without Johnny Manziel at quarterback?
Yeah. That's it kind of evens the playing field, maybe, doesn't it? We all know what Johnny Manziel
did. I don't know if it evens it, but it makes it less tilted towards A&M, I would think.
Yeah, we all saw what he did to Arkansas last year, and it was pretty impressive. You know, this is just – you have had the sense that something big was coming with this offseason. It just – the way things were just getting bigger and bigger and bigger with Johnny Manziel, it just feels like it's going to blow up. Now, I will say this, you know, what's out there, is that looks bad. But now DNC has got to prove it, so – there's no guarantees here that he's going to be off the field or not, because we know in the Cam Newton situation, it looked bad as well for Cam Newton. Auburn stood by him, and nothing was uncovered, and, you know, Auburn was okay with that situation. But here, I don't know, man. It's going to be very interesting what happens the next several days. There's a lot of different ways you can go with the story because, you know, first of all, to me, it's foolish that a guy cannot profit off of his own name. That's one of the debates coming out of this. But the fact of the matter is, it's against the rules right now. Johnny Manziel knows this. He's not hurting for money because they've said it so many times before that their family is well off. They don't need the money. Mm-hmm. So what were you thinking? I mean, to me, that's the greater issue. Why are you putting, not just you, you know, it's one thing if it's just you that you're putting in harm's way as far as your season, but you're hurting your teammates. So that, to me, is the biggest question right there. That's the biggest problem right there, where it feels like it's been all about Johnny Manziel, and now you see this, and if he did something like this, it's like, why are you doing this? You're threatening what your team could have accomplished here this year, potentially.
Yeah. Well, and that becomes a discussion. We were just talking to Barrett Salia, Bleacher Report, about this, too. I mean, what does that team look like without him, even if it's only for half a season? Because, again, there are going to be losses taken that you would have either had a chance to win or would have won. You know, and, again, the Arkansas game is one issue. The Alabama game is a completely different kind of conversation.
Yeah, and I know that they've got a lot of quarterbacks on the roster. I know that they've got a lot of talented, you know, young guys, but these are guys that don't have experience. So, you know, would they be okay at quarterback? I'm sure they would be okay, but they're not. It's not Johnny Manziel, you know, the guy who basically, you know, in some regard, almost single-handedly lifted Texas A&M last year and then obviously accomplished everything he did. So it would be a very tough blow. I know it's got to be a very difficult situation for Texas A&M this morning.
Robbie, appreciate the time. We'll get you on again soon and get an update on what we're being told practice has been like. So that'll be good.
There you go. What we're being told. I will come back and report what we're being told.
Yes, Robbie can regurgitate what the coaching staff says about practice, so that'll be nice.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And, again, follow Robbie's work online. And, man, good stuff.
Well-informed.
He is, very much so. He's our man.
Topical.
Our man in Amsterdam, as they said in Pulp Fiction.
That's right.
I do want to commend.